course, do our best to be diligent and mindful of Him tonight, and what He was laid upon our heart. And 1 Samuel chapter 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we'll be looking tonight at those portions of Scripture. We'll also be reflecting back into several of the epistles. And get my little thing in here. All right. First Samuel chapter 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's begin reading a few verses here, and then we'll go to look the Lord in prayer and ask for His help in the service tonight. We find here is chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, Paul's last epistle. The very last letter that he pens is in his second imprisonment there in Rome. And toward the latter part, he's writing to Timothy. And he says in verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Christians to Galatia, Titus to Dalatia. "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And then we find over here in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched against Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." Let's bow for a word of prayer this evening. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your grace to us, your kindness. Thank you, God, most of all, Lord, for looking our way, for being, Lord, so dear and so gracious, Lord, to your people. I ask now, Lord, that you would, God, guide our minds, our thoughts, our hearts unto you. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, for direction in the service, God. Lord, I realize tonight, Lord, that it is, Lord, you that wants to work in our hearts tonight. I pray that you'd help me to be pliable in thy hand, help my mind, God, to look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, tonight I am very thankful, Lord, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord, in these days of meeting. Lord, I realize tonight, God, as you continue to speak to our hearts, I pray that truth would be planted deep in our heart, Lord, that the seedling may begin to grow and help us to mature, Lord, and be conformed more so in the image of Christ. Help the saints of God, Lord, I pray each one. I pray for the prodigal tonight that's gone away. Would tonight be the night they forsake the slop of the hog pen and, Lord, come into your open arms. I pray for the sinner tonight that does not know you. Would you awaken them accordingly, Lord, and may the gospel go forth and affect them tonight. Lord, I pray that you would edify the body. Help us now, I pray, as we look to you, Lord, and looking, Lord, to that blessed hope and that appearing of your glorious Savior, who is our Redeemer and your Son. Lord, I confess before you my inability. Lord, touch my voice tonight, I pray. I pray, Lord, for liberty. I pray for clarity of the message, Lord, that will be transmitted to your people. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. The church said, amen. Thank you for praying, and you can be seated tonight. In this The last letter that Paul is writing to Timothy, he has instructed him to do various things. He's instructed him to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's instructed him to strive lawfully, to commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. He's spoken various details in helping guide this young preacher, Paul's son, in the faith. When it gets down to the ending chapter, he makes it clear and wants Timothy to understand that there is a man that Timothy knows. There is a man that Timothy would have most likely lodged with and traveled with alongside the apostle. And his name was Demas. Demas is a fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul. He was a fellow soldier of the Apostle Paul and also a fellow prisoner of the Apostle Paul. Demas is one who Paul encountered in Thessalonica at his second missionary journey. You remember correctly, as they make their way to Philippi and preach the gospel, they're on the northern borders or the northern shorelines of the Mediterranean. They own up next to Greece. They come down and he preaches in Philippi in a display of great power. And then next he stops off in Thessalonica. There he spends 3 weeks preaching the gospel. God uses him mightily. Several people turn to Christ, and both Jew and Gentile. And there is such an uproar caused in the theater that the men escape and they make their way to Berea. From there they preach on and continue on. But the Bible tells us, according to the book of Acts, I believe it's chapter 20, my mind serves me right, in verse number in verse number 4, and it says, "And there accompanied him into Asia, that there were several men that came with Paul. Timotheus, there was a man whose name was Sophater. He was a Berean. He was of Berea. And then of the Thessalonians, there was one man named Sichem, and the other's name was Aristarchus. Aristarchus, there is a connection here that we must be careful in laying this groundwork to understand the truth tonight. Demas, Aristarchus are both citizens of Thessalonica. In this point and in this period, as the Apostle Paul preaches in this place in such power and in such display, the Spirit of God, there is something stirred in this young man that he wants to follow suit, follow the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. He wants to perhaps even die the martyr's death, maybe as the Apostle would later on face himself. There was something in the life of Demas that attracted him to the Apostle Paul. And I believe that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the main ingredient that was the attractant that Paul had in his life. Paul wanted nothing more than to decrease that Christ may increase. And he counted his life but dung. He counted everything lost that he might gain Christ. So there's something in that personality, in that atmosphere, when you rub shoulders with someone that has a life and a heart that is 110% sold out to Jesus. And so what we find now is that Demas and Aristarchus are traveling with the Apostle Paul. And we find in a couple other scriptures in the Word of God, one in particular is the book of Philemon. It's a letter to a citizen in Colossae. And when we come to the closing remark of this letter, the Bible says this: "There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." And so once again, from this place in Rome, Paul is writing to Philemon, and he writes to the Colossian believers there in Colossae. And with him, in while he's there in the Roman prison cell, he writes, and even in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, and verse number 10, we find this character once again. The Bible says, he says, "Whom I have sent to you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." He says, "With Onesimus, faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you," meaning he is of Colossae and of that body of believers now that he's saved, "they shall make known unto you all things which are done here." He goes on and says, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him." And then he goes on down and says, in this last salutation, he says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house." And so we begin to see a storyline unfold, that where you find the Apostle Paul in these, specifically in these latter portions of his life, there you find Aristarchus, and you find Demas, and Luke is there, and often young Timothy is there as well. And so these men, they interacted one with another. It wasn't that one was in one cell, one was in the other. There was a period of time of about 2 years where the Apostle Paul first arrived to Rome. He was in a prison cell. It was a dungeon-like setting. After a period of time, he was released upon a house arrest. Y'all follow me? Say amen. On this house arrest, he has some liberty, but cannot travel distance outside of Rome. And at this place, he pens several of the great epistles. He writes the book of the Ephesians here. He writes the letter to the Colossian believers, and then after that period, he is brought back into a state, and he writes a letter to Philemon. And then at the latter part of his life, where he is finding himself in the Roman prison cell, within a year, his head will fall from his shoulders, and he's martyred and executed, and this letter to Timothy has been written. Now, it's an amazing thing to send forth instruction, encouragement, and help to the predecessor, to young Timothy, whom Paul loved as his own son. But in this same understanding, Paul writes and says that Demas hath forsaken him. There was the reason for this forsaking, because he having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. In other words, this man had come with Paul. He had followed the footsteps. He had rubbed the shoulders of a great man of God. And when it come down to the prison cell, when it come down to the difficulties they faced in Rome, there was something lacking in in the life and heart of Demas.